You're tuned in to the Trademark Productions podcast, discussing all things web, tech, marketing, design, and business from sunny Detroit. Sound good? Let's get started.
Everybody's excited because it's a new Trademark podcast, the Detroit Muscle Hustle Digital. Thumbs up for the 313.
For the 313.
Is that what we're saying? We're talking about new types of social commerce. And
I just can't stop laughing. Hold on.
We have Sarah and Ashley here, who's part of our marketing arm of Trademark. And we're talking about infusing new e-commerce functionality into platforms that are happening out there. I noticed in those interesting stat that I got was Pinterest, 80% of their usage is females, and they've now introduced their new purchasing platform, their advertising platform that you'll be able to buy from there.
Viable pins.
And they're looking at if that's viable or not, and I'm really interested in that as well. Because I think it's great for exposure and people exposing people to your brand, especially getting traffic back to your site for a number of things. But anyways, social commerce, these are new products. So like buy buttons and product pages that may have more footing, Instagram's doing it as well. So we wanted to talk a little bit more about some of these components.
Yeah,
how they're
so
playing into businesses.
I definitely think that Pinterest kind of got the ball rolling in my mind, because it all started, it was kind of like a friendly way of, I guess it was started as branding more than anything, but it was kind of like shopping scrapbooking, or like brand scrapbooking, I would call it. And yeah, so it just started as a friendly thing, I think, and then they did promoted pins, and, you know, they say that the downfall to Pinterest, though, is that it is 80% women, so by virtue of it only being a women-centric audience, you kind of lose that anything male.
Anybody. Not if you're selling baby clothes.
Yeah.
And the other thing
on the other part of that, it's super targeted.
So yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Who
but
you're
the other
lying.
Thing I was thinking about too is, I mean, granted, I am on Pinterest and I go through it, not as much as other girls I know, but I definitely go on there a good amount, and there is male stuff. So, I mean, are women buying
for
men then, you know?
Meat what? Lovers pizza for males?
Well, no,
I mean, like, actual
there that's male-focused as well.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's a bunch of guys that still do curate.
80% women, though, that is a huge number.
I think it's a huge number. It absolutely is. But if I was selling muscle cars, that might not be my target place I want to put efforts and money towards. But if I'm selling baby clothes or Jimmy Choo's,
well, and then the other thing is, too, is how much does a woman have impact on what a guy buys? Like, what if a woman sees it on Pinterest and then goes to her husband and is like, this is great.
That would be going deeper into Pinterest data if it's, you know, if it's really weeding through all of that to determine that theory.
Yeah.
If that works out that way.
Home Depot's Pinterest.
So, I mean, I don't think that it's necessarily a women-only platform, but there is arguments against that.
Yeah.
So let's how are businesses going to benefit? Let's look at some of these, at least for the models that for Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, who has what?
Well, I think that Pinterest is best positioned to get the most out of what they're doing. They've already established themselves as basically the best e-commerce site. Really, I mean, they're not e-commerce site, but positioning themselves for that.
Social commerce.
Yeah. So I think they're positioned the best.
You know, and I think you look at Twitter, it was just tweeting out a bunch of messages. And Google, of course, in the beginning of stages too, people were looking at how the hell do these people make money? How do they monetize? There was no monetization for Pinterest. So there was Instagram too. There was no motives behind them that you come here and I'm going to be exposed to a ton of shit and I've got to buy the in-app purchase or get a membership to unlock all of these goodies.
Mm-hmm.
So it had a lot of great user intent in the beginning. Now they're leveraging out to the point of, you know, their investors are looking at, we've put all this money into you, you have all this traffic, you have all these eyes, you have all this demographical data. How do we harvest this? How do we harness it and utilize it in such a way to make our money back?
Plus, I think by virtue of just the nature of Pinterest to begin with, it's just closer towards the end of the sales cycle kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're actually searching for brands. You're planning. You're in that planning phase of you know, the buyer's funnel, so I think they kind of just have a leg up in terms of that as well. And on Instagram too, comparing it to Instagram is more of a social platform. I personally would not want to buy on Instagram. You're looking to be inspired. I've bought stuff
because I've seen it on Instagram.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
But would
because
you buy
because of a sponsored post?
But would no. you buy it on yeah, Instagram?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm 100% behind Ashley with that. You can say your part, and I have something to add in.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say that where the consumer's thought process is on Instagram. I'm gonna have a quote here. It says users are generally in the place of inspiration and discovery, whereas people on Pinterest using the platform, they're generally in planning mode. So they're already more likely to be like closer to a place of purchase or at least purchase consideration. So 100% backing up what Ashley said.
And that's from Adweek?
Yes.
It's your tweet? Just tweeted there?
Yeah.
Well, I have been exposed to different brands. Obviously, I like looking at how other people are marketing for different ways and what's making them get likes or shares, how they're utilizing hashtags, and then how they're being exposed, or I guess looking at the psychology of marketing, how they're exposing something. Just because we were early adopters to like tweet advertising through IZEA down in Florida when that happened 6-7 years ago when they created that platform. So you could actually buy sponsored tweets that would be happening from the Kardashians and other people with large followers to try to get them to do something. We've had mixed success in utilizing those as campaigns. I think some of them just are not worth it necessarily, but it also depends on the product that you're pushing as well. So the Kardashians are really good at marketing in monetization from all these different channels. But now giving that another option to an advertiser to market through a popular channel that has large visibility for an in-app purchase. I'm trying to remember where I just read the other day, and it was through a VC magazine, talks through some different VCs and investments they're making, and they said one of the biggest challenges they're having with one of their investments was it was too many clicks to purchase, and it was an immobile environment, so they were saying it was taking at least 4 to 5 clicks, which were way too many.
From Twitter?
No, but just inside of their app in order to do something. It was too much to do mobily.
Right.
So big thing when we met with First Round out of Pennsylvania, a big thing that one of their founders, Josh, said too is, you know, no more than 2 clicks to conversion. So Uber, you boom, look on a map, boom, pick me up, done and over with. Your ride's over, I'm done. I'm building
making
your car.
Making it easy.
You have to make it easy for people to buy. So if I was on Instagram and I like something, and again, you have a large demographic of females there as well, and so if you're advertising or doing any types of flash commerce, or you're doing any sponsor type of commerce through large following groups, giving them the ability to click on something and go open up a mobile application or go to another site. Well, obviously Instagram's only going to be mobile anyways.
Ashley, what's your feeling on sponsored posts on Instagram if they come up in your feed? How do you feel about them?
I mean, it actually hasn't happened that often
that
to
many.
Me. Although they were rolled out just recently, so it's a pretty new thing. but just generally, I just scroll straight through it. But again, like the sponsored posts are different than the Shop Now, Learn Now buttons, because the buttons are new. They just integrated the Shop Now buttons, and there's also Learn More, Download, Book Now, and Sign Up links. And I almost think that those are a little more friendly than just a promoted post. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why I feel that way. But again, when talking about the clicks, how many clicks it takes, Instagram, you have to go off of Instagram to buy something.
Yes.
Facebook, they say that you could buy directly within Facebook. They're setting up these click to buy ads powered by Shopify, and it's all integrated right through Facebook. But
so you have to have a Shopify store in order to purchase through that?
I believe so, yeah. But Facebook has tried for years to integrate something similar to Pinterest in terms of e-commerce online.
It
has never worked. Even those like gift things or whatever on Facebook,
I thought those were ridiculous.
They just
gifting people a bunch of farm credits.
Yeah, yeah, it's just
snowflakes. I don't. What does that even mean?
Right.
It probably, you know, it didn't stick feel around natural as long because yeah, it didn't. It, but there's people that did it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people I know in this building that have spent money on Candy Crush to buy extra.
Well, that's a different story there.
It's pretty stupid.
My biggest qualm with the sponsored posts on Instagram is that like I said, maybe I'm just on it way too much, but they're never accounts that I follow. So it feels kind of like it's a little bit of an intrusion because I'm basically on Instagram for the social aspect, my friends, people I think are interesting. Yes, I have said previously I've bought things off Instagram and I don't know if I'm ashamed, but I feel literally like there's a little girl opening my front door screaming at me to buy cookies. I don't like it. Like, I just want to slam the door in their face. So sometimes I have poked the I don't like this photo or I don't like this account button because you can give Instagram feedback simply because I don't want to see those ads.
But you have to wonder, they have the same targeting methods that Facebook has. So you had to have fit within some sort of specific targeted audience for them.
I would be much
for them to market to you.
I would be much more likely to respond positively to the sponsored post if they were actually Instagram.
So, like Nike, for instance, if you were following Nike,
Nike. I'm totally down if there's a cool pair of shoes.
So interestingly, I found a stat on social media and retailers. 500, the top 500 retailers earned $3.3 billion from social shopping in 2014, which was up 26% from the previous year.
And that's just a small piece of what they're making as a whole, but they have the budgets to explore and to play in that space to make sense of if it's going to work or not. That's the other thing, too, is how much of a budget do I have? I have to create a new Shopify store, if I'm understanding that correctly, in order to merch across in Facebook's platform. It might be just sucking up and spitting out a new data feed to display in there, and is that just on popular products, or how do you curate? But that all takes time to do all that, and there's a cost against doing it. Many businesses just can't do it that quickly yet to play in that. But the bigger ones are, like you're saying, Nike and some of the bigger retailers. They're going to definitely play in that space to see if it's going to work.
Well, and then the other thing too, I was thinking about how much of an impact is it on just the users getting used to buying via social or being advertised to via social. I mean, is it the marketers have gotten better at advertising to us, or is it that we have just gotten more comfortable in that space online?
Yes.
I think you have to look at, in the United States, we drive on the right side of the road. In
the England, UK?
The UK, you drive on the left.
Yeah.
And that's just normalized. There's too many unnormalized shopping experiences. And that's prohibitive to a lot of people. And that's what creates cart abandonment on a number of different sites for different reasons. Outdated software, users, browsing capabilities, site speed, different things like that. When you start to normalize things on a large platform like Facebook, that could be huge in a big way, where you could see even like Etsy. There's a great platform right there.
Yeah.
Because all you do is upload and put your products. It's all controlled. It's all sustained, and it's inside their own search and everything that's going on there. Same with Amazon. And that creates trust and conformity. And people have expectations of what they're going to get and potentially how that's all going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I was an early adopter to a app called Fancy probably about 3 years ago. And I've bought on there many times, even recently. And that's just a very simple scrolling. But their fulfillment, it's all purchased through one place, but fulfillment comes weird. And it's never consistent how things happen. And what you end up buying on the app sometimes may not be in stock, and you won't find out till a week later.
Oh, sounds awful.
But it's very unique because it's a very amount of limited, hard to find things that are just not out there in a lot of places.
They're fancy.
So it creates urgency. You like want it now type
exclusivity
thing.
Types of things. It's just really cool. It's different. But I'm used to that platform. I know what to expect from doing so with that. Fab, I mean, they had the same deal, but they haven't fared very well for the amount of money to something like that. That's this cord here that's got me bad. So I think we're going to see a lot of great stuff happen in the future, but in order to have mainstream people and all the new iPhone users and people that are just Wi-Fi everywhere looking for shit shopping, sitting in bed or in a waiting room or whatever, it has to be very, very simple. The emergence of Apple Pay is huge.
Yeah.
You know, just scan my thumb to go ahead and make a purchase with my credit card and file. Again, it's that whole Uber premise. And if we're able to do that stuff too with like Facebook and Instagram, that's going to allow things like that to happen very simplistically.
What kind of things have you purchased from Facebook?
I haven't purchased anything.
Oh
from
my
Facebook.
God, you held strong?
I guess so. I have not ever purchased anything from Facebook. I have been influenced by things like Pinterest, though, and purchased from Pinterest.
So you've been, would it be safe to say everybody in this room has also been influenced by ads or products they have seen and been exposed to on Facebook?
I even fell for the Fabuletics thing when it first came out.
I don't know what that is.
Oh.
Kate Hudson.
Okay, I take it back. Yeah, I have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we've seen products.
Yeah, definitely.
Based off usage, what you're liking. I mean, their algorithm is there for a reason for what it's showing you, but I've seen things many, many different ways. So you have to look at that long-term sales cycle as well. And then you also have to think about who's advertising that, because GM puts a ton of money out there to advertise GM cars.
Right.
Hoping you're going to purchase. That purchase decision may not happen for 6-18 months.
That's a long sales cycle.
In doing so, and you might decide to go with a Chevy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's under the GM umbrella. So you have to look at it from those standpoint of view as well.
Yeah.
So in conclusion, are we concluded?
I think we're concluded.
Do we want to touch on YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't have that on here, but.
It's actually funny. My mom is a really big YouTuber. Huge into.
Mine is too.
I mean, she's really into YouTube.
Cat videos.
And I remember I updated her software on her iPad or whatever. And this was a couple of years ago. And by virtue of updating it, she was then getting ads and had to skip the ads. And.
Is this on. On Apple TV?
It was on her iPad. Hmm. On YouTube. And she hated it.
Yeah, that was a big rollout that happened in the fall.
Right. And I kind of have to agree with her.
It's evolution.
I think that I'm kind of used to it now, maybe, but it feels like a commercial on TV. And I'm not even used to commercials anymore. With Apple TV, like, I don't watch commercials. So if you're going on YouTube to watch a specific video, and you're
a lot of great channels now that are on YouTube.
Oh yeah,
it's evolution.
I agree.
I don't like them either. I think it's annoying. I would say there's more that are skippable in 4 or 5 seconds than not, and making me stand there for 30 seconds.
The 30 second ones? Oh man.
But I've actually seen some of the ads, been exposed to some different products where I've watched the commercials just because was a very different platform. The production level of them were either great or were shaky, but the content and what was included in the commercial was interesting. It was relevant to what I was getting. So relevancy, I mean, remember when we were little, I mean, or whenever you're sitting home and you're watching Price is Right during the day and you're watching tons of Slip and Fall Attorney, Senior Care Living, shit like that would have been on Channel 2. I mean, you're going to expose a ton of crap you don't want to deal with or actually be exposed to, where we're getting better content. I can't say that on YouTube that it's perfect, because I've also had really stupid ads show up.
Yeah.
And ones that are just completely dumb. But I also notice I'm getting geo-specific, which I would get on my desktop.
Yeah.
So they're relevant. It might be a localized place that's for a dentist or something else.
Speaking of a ton of crap, the most awkward YouTube commercials that I've seen or advertisements I've seen are the Charmin ones. I don't want to see
Charmin.
Those. Yeah.
Cha-cha-cha. Oh, the bear.
Toilet paper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I dislike product advertisements on YouTube. If they're showing me a preview for a movie, I don't buy Charmin.
It worked.
If they're showing me a preview for a movie or a TV show, I think those ones are the best, because I'm already on YouTube wanting to watch a video.
What's funny is, too, is YouTube also houses a bunch of advertisements. Like, people search for specific ads.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we're talking about to like Super Bowl or whatever, I mean, if they are really interesting, YouTube is a place to go watch ads if you want to as well, which is kind of funny.
But we're not at the point there yet where we can merch directly from there.
No.
There is no platform associated with that.
Mm-mm.
But I mean, YouTube has just exploded. So I'm sorry that your mom doesn't like all the commercials that happened that way. But, you know, they created a special YouTube channel app for kids. So it has very, very specific programming that's age appropriate. So now for the kids, they can, you know, have that YouTube Kids, but it's also a very simplistic interface. And it's also based off a history and then location of what you're being pushed to watch.
Do they show them ads?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Pillow pads.
Yes.
Mom, I need a pillow pad.
But, I mean, kids are learning now. I mean, why even type in search when I can just hit the microphone and just talk into it? And I've heard kids with some pretty, you know, rudimentary language skills at 3 and 4 years old say things just, instead of it's a tree, it's a twee. And their voice recognition is amazing for the shit that they can end up finding on YouTube as well. So you have to look at being able to speak in there or being able to say while something's in play eventually in the future that, no, skip ad or show more clothes or I want that shirt.
Yeah.
I feel like my grandma when I say this, but back in the day when I was a nanny, 1.5-year-old little boy that I worked for? Do I work for the boy? I worked for his parents. It was amazing how quickly he picked up exactly what to do on the iPhone, exactly what to do on the iPad. He would go to the iPad, turn it on, get to YouTube, and of course there were the saved video. He would click on him. He knew exactly what to do. 1.5, 2 years old.
Oh yeah,
it was insane.
Yeah, before being verbal, they know how to utilize a lot of those things. Pretty interesting. So, in closing here, social commerce has a lot of options. And it's something I think as business owners you have to be aware of. And as you can see here in our group, everybody has taken individual and you know personal basis to look at how they're being exposed to these. What is the intent? Would they use something? Would they not? I think you have to pay attention to this being your marketing mix. Most importantly, you have to open your eyes and be aware of all these different outlets and what's going on with them to determine whether you should participate or not, if it's going to make sense. If you have the budget, early adoption and testing it out is probably highly recommended. If not, just socially sit on the couch and enjoy looking through Pinterest boards.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or SoundCloud. Remember, you can post comments or want to be on the show. Head on over to tmprod.com and hit the podcast section. All content on this show is copyright by Trademark Productions or their respective owners and cannot be reproduced without express permission. Thanks for being a part of rebuilding Detroit with us.